God's grace, mercy, and peace. May God's peace be yours this day from our Prince of Peace, Jesus. Amen. This weekend is one of my favorite weekends of the year because it's Bake-a-thon weekend at my house, which means a lot of things. It means piles of dishes and flour being thrown into the air and these heavenly smells coming from my kitchen table. These Christmas cookies just tempting me to come and break a few for quality control purposes. But no, as we jump into this second week of Advent, we are continuing and beginning to make all of these Christmas preparations for our Christmas celebrations. And so we have Christmas music and singing, as we talked about on Wednesday, coming from our homes and blaring from our offices, Jan, I'm probably the one that was more guilty of that this week, but yeah, we have Christmas music going, and Christmas lights are getting on houses. I got most of my Christmas lights up, and these are all good things, but in all of that Christmas craziness, it can be easy for us to kind of lose sight of where we are right now, of what this time of Advent is supposed to be, a time of humble anticipation, eagerly awaiting our Savior and Lord Jesus to come. But we're not people who are much for waiting, and it's much more fun to get straight to the fun of Christmas and kind of forego all the waiting altogether of the Advent season. But this is such a beautiful time. It's a time where we are reminded of what we are waiting for. Truly who we are waiting for. We await the coming and return of our King. Jesus, who is risen and reigning, will come again, and we await his return just as the people of Israel so many years ago awaited the birth of a child. A child that would be true God and true man. A child that would soon lay down his life to forgive the sins of the whole world. A child that would offer to us true peace. And it's here. It's in that forgiveness that we have in Jesus that we can truly know peace. That's why we call him our Prince of Peace. Because he offers to us peace that comes in the freedom from our sin. He offers to us peace that comes from a clear conscience. In forgiveness, there is peace. And so now as we wait, and as we have experienced that peace of God, we share that peace with one another. And when we talk about sharing the peace, I think we think of, like, on Sunday morning, we stand up and shake everyone's hand, and that's good. But what I mean by sharing the peace, we share the peace of God with one another truly when we forgive each other. When we forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave us. But forgiveness isn't easy. Forgiveness takes lots of work. And forgiveness at times can be very painful. But on the other side of that, as we go to the other side where there is this peace and there is this joy, it's so worth it. And so that's why during this time of Advent, these next couple weeks, we're going to be spending time talking about and looking at what does it look like for us to forgive each other? What does Scripture say about this process and this power and this perspective that we see in forgiveness? That's going to be kind of the focus of our series, Prince of Peace, the process, power, and perspective of forgiveness. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the process of forgiveness as we see Jesus kind of lays it out for us in Matthew chapter 18. So what is this process of forgiveness? And at least for me, the question is not really what the process is, but why is it so important? Why is this process that Jesus puts in front of us so important? Why can't we just forgive people in our hearts and just move on with our lives? You know, as I read what Jesus lays out for us in Matthew 18, that looks a little daunting. And quite frankly, I'm imagining having a conversation with someone like that, and it's like, that sounds really awkward and uncomfortable. And I'd just rather do without that in my life. In general, I'm also the type of person that doesn't really like specific formulas for things. So when I see like Jesus lay out these three steps, I'm kind of like, you know what? I'm the type of person that'd rather just eyeball a cup of flour than measure everything out. People are like freaking out about that right now. That's true about me. My wife can attest. I don't actually measure things. I'm like, that looks like about a cup. On that note, we should invite you over for dinner sometime. But I think Jesus is getting at something here. When we talk about this process of forgiveness, I think there's more going on here than meets the eye. And here's why I think that this process that Jesus gives us is so important. You see, our relationships with one another can be kind of fragile. Our relationships with one another can often be a lot like a toy, a new toy or your favorite toy. So many of you probably don't have a new or favorite toy anymore. So what I want you to do is I want you to think back to when you were growing up. What was your favorite toy growing up? Maybe it was a teddy bear or a stuffed animal. I know some people who their favorite toy was really just their blanket, the security blanket they took with them everywhere they went. It could be an action figure or a doll. My favorite toy growing up, and I wanted it for Christmas one year, is the only thing I wanted was this big T-Rex from Jurassic Park that could like swallow things. I thought that was so cool. But picture in your head what that toy, what that thing was in your life that you held so dear. Now, chances are you probably don't have it anymore, or it's kind of put away and forgotten, and that's what kind of happens with these things sometimes. You know, at some point, maybe an arm fell off. Or maybe it got a tear in the back, or maybe it got dirty. And when that happened, we experienced real pain, right? This is something that was so important to us, and so we experienced the trauma of something that's important to us being hurt. And so we experienced very real hurt in that moment, but then what happens right after that? We kind of just move on, right? You take your toy, you're like, well, the arm fell off, and so you just kind of throw it back in the toy box. And that doesn't mean you won't play with it ever again. So you might bring it out occasionally and play with it again. You might see it as you walk by from time to time, but over time, that toy that was once so precious to you, now that it has an experience kind of a tarnish, it's just easier to kind of forget about it and to kind of ignore it until before long, we don't see it anymore at all. Because it started to sink deeper and deeper into that toy box till it's gone. The relationship is lost. Now, the same thing tends to happen with our relationships. See, all of us have times where we've hurt each other. We all have times where we've said things that we probably shouldn't have said, where we've done things that we would later regret. And in that moment, we experience very real and very real pain and hurt in our lives. And I think for most of us, as we experience that, our kind of default response to that is to kind of just move on. We tend to kind of convince ourselves, you know what? It's not a big deal. You know, I don't have to worry about it. It's going to be fine. And I'm just going to move on with my life. You know, we convince ourselves it's not a big deal. We think, you know, it would just be easier if I ignored it. And so we do. But what happens is, when you do that, it doesn't make the pain go away. And so what so often happens is we start to treat those people kind of like that toy. Or we kind of see them from time to time, but it's just not the same anymore. There's something just bothering us. And you know, at a certain point, it just becomes easier to kind of ignore them. It becomes easier to just say, you know what, I see them over there. I'd rather just kind of walk this way. And before long, you do that time and time again, then you start to not see them at all anymore. Slowly but surely, that relationship that you had withers and dies. And that relationship that you had is lost. That's not forgiveness. It's like the opposite of forgiveness. But it's easier, right? Sure, it's easier for us to live life that way sometimes. Sure, it's easier sometimes to leave a wound alone and let it fester than to actually endure the pain of cleaning and dressing and healing a wound. But that's exactly what Jesus is instructing us to do here in Matthew chapter 18. See, Jesus' heart in all of this is to restore a relationship. Forgiveness is all about restoring a relationship. Take, for example, God, who had a desire to have a relationship with you. What did he do? God forges a path ahead to forgiveness of sins that he might know you and that you might know him. And in that same way, God desires for us to be in relationship with each other. And so here offers to us a process to be reconciled with one another. So for a moment, let's think about what we actually read here in Matthew 18, what this process actually looks like. So we have a process that Jesus kind of lays out as a three-step process, right? Three-step process. Step number one, you have someone who has sinned against you, who has wronged you in some way, and so what do? You go to them one-on-one. You have a conversation with them. You speak words to them. You open up to them and let them know what is going on and how you are feeling. You expose that wound to them. And hopefully, in recognizing this gap between the two of you, they say, oh, I'm so sorry. Let's fix this relationship that we might move in one direction together. Now, that may not always happen, right? They may deny the situation altogether, deny the hurt that you are experiencing, the sin that they may have caused. And then we get to step number two. See, if that happens, Jesus says, step number two, you bring one or two people with you to help mediate, to help facilitate this conversation. You have witnesses with you to help bring about reconciliation and healing in this process. Now, very well may be that you bring one or two people, and that person could still say, you know what? I'm not feeling it. I don't agree with you. And then, only then do we get to step number three. Step number three, where we bring the whole community in to confront this person, to confront this situation. And then even, and only after all of that, after all of those steps, all of that hard work, only then, if that person is still unwilling, that's when the relationship is lost. After all of that, that's the only time when the relationship is lost. And it's not because you've ignored it. It's not because you yourself have cut off that relationship, but it's because that other person has themselves removed themselves from that relationship. But here's what I love about this whole process. Here's what I love about this whole thing that Jesus lays out for us. So Jesus lays it out. He says, go to your brother, seek out reconciliation. But here's the key that he lays out in verse 15. Jesus says, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. The process of forgiveness, it's not about just going through the steps. It's not about being right and the other person being wrong. Everything about forgiveness is about a relationship. Everything about forgiveness is about a relationship. And so even here, the heart and the purpose and the motive behind this process is to win back your brother or your sister. The heart and the purpose of this process is to win back our brother or our sister. It's to bring them back into a loving and caring relationship. It's about being reconciled to each other just as we are reconciled to God our Father through Jesus. And that's just not the way we typically do things. That's not how we approach these things. Even if we look at Matthew 18 and we ourselves are trying to follow this process, how often do we add our own steps? How often do we add our own conditions and expectations of how those conversations are supposed to go? You know, I'm gonna go to them one-on-one, but if they don't say exactly what I want them to say, we're done. If they aren't willing to concede all of the things that they've done, each and every one, I'm going to cut them off completely. We may not say it that way, but that tends to be kind of how we live this out in our lives. Consider God's heart in forgiving us. God, in his mighty desire to have a relationship with you, did the utmost that you might be free. See, God came to you. Just as Jesus lays out in this process that we must come to our brothers and sisters, God, in the desire to have a relationship with you, came down to you. He descended from heaven to win you back, because that's what he cares about. See, there's this gaping wound in our relationship with God where we have and continue to disobey him and really kind of ignore him even when he's seeking after us. And yet God looks at us, he sees us, and with perfect love in his eyes, he says, I'm going to win them back. I'm going to do everything in my power to win them back. Even if it means the death of me, I'm going to restore this relationship. And so he did. Our God took on human flesh. He went to the humiliation of the cross for us. And in that process, he died to heal that gaping wound of our own making, that we might know true freedom, that we might know true peace, that we might have a right relationship with our Father in heaven. So where does that leave us now? Recognizing Jesus calls us to forgive, we also recognize that we are always going to fail to forgive as Jesus forgives. And so recognizing that, the first part of this is we recognize we have to continue to fall down before his throne of grace. But then we go from here with that same heart, with that same sense of purpose, with a willingness to seek out our brothers and our sisters with the purpose of winning them back, to get a little uncomfortable, to seek forgiveness for the sake of our relationships with others. Now, I know that there are relationships in your lives right now that need reconciliation. I know that there are probably a lot of relationships here today that we have been ignoring like a broken toy for some time due to some slight or grudge or whatever it may be. Let's not ignore it any longer. Let's seek to forgive. And let us go from here with a purpose and a heart to win back our relationships. To win back our relationships rather than pushing them farther away. And let us seek to share the peace of God with all those that we come in contact with through the love and forgiveness that comes to us in Jesus. We love because he first loved us. And we forgive because we have been forgiven. May it be so in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.